Hello and welcome. This is Terry DiMatteo, and you're listening to the Love Bonds podcast, a show about love, relationships, and infidelity. Today, we'll be discussing the turbo relationship with relationship expert Dr. Maya Dixon. Dr. Dixon is a licensed professional counselor in the state of Georgia. She has worked in the mental health field for over 10 years in various venues, such as residential treatment facilities for children and adolescents, shelters for children, domestic violence shelters, and the local county jail. Dr. Dixon specializes in marriage and family therapy, as well as play therapy. She is the host of the Premarital Bliss podcast here on Anchor and is an adjunct professor at Grand Canyon University. She earned her PhD in counselor education and supervision from Mercer University and her master's degree in professional counseling from Argosy University. Dr. Dixon served as a co-presenter at the Marriage America Conference on Childhood Sexual Abuse, Attachment, and Marriage at the University of South Carolina on Vicarious Trauma and the Better Marriages Conferences in Raleigh, North Carolina on Cyber Infidelity. Welcome, Dr. Dixon, and thank you for joining us today. It's so nice to be with you.
Well, thank you for having me, Ms. Terry. I'm excited to be here, and I appreciate you extending the invitation.
Oh, that's so nice. I'm delighted to be with you again. It's been a long time, and we have an exciting topic today, yeah?
Yes, we do.
Very good. So let's just jump in. How's that?
That sounds great to me.
Okay. So Dr. Dixon, today's topic is on the turbo relationship. Sometimes this is called lockdown love. What can you tell us about the turbo relationship? What is it and what are its unique features?
Well, first of all, the term lockdown love is hilarious to me. It sounds a little brutal, but I guess if the relationship goes left, it could be brutal. So I think turbo relationships are those relationships that start and perhaps even end very fast. And those are relationships in which we kind of meet and we accelerate through what would be the normal, I say with finger quotes, the normal stages and phases of a relationship. And so maybe we miss some of those important aspects of a quality relationship because we are moving very fast from dating to now maybe we're living together and we feel as though we're in love, but it's been maybe less than a year. And for some people, less than 6 months.
Yes. And in unusual circumstances.
Yes, very exactly. Much so.
You know, I remember reading at the beginning of the pandemic that someone went on a second or third date, and then the community had a lockdown. They were stuck. They got stuck together in one of their respective homes, and they were really strangers. And they were forced together. I don't think that particular story ended well, but sometimes just being with someone, you start to bond, even if you know, just because you're to get in close proximity. So it's kind of a interesting phenomena this pandemic has had on couples.
I think so. I've kind of termed those couples COVID couples, and that was one of the last episodes I recorded on my podcast. And it's just the idea of very similar to what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And as a couples counselor, I have at one point I had several couples who had met during the pandemic, and they were moving for some of them, they were moving very fast. And it was sort of that turbo relationship, that lockdown love that you're talking about.
Yes.
And I think when there's something major going on, like a pandemic.
Yes.
We are working from home, spending lots of time together. And so in some ways, you actually do get to know the person very well. But I found that the couples that I work with who had started within the pandemic, some of the issues they were having was now that the world has opened back up. They were in their own sort of cocoon, so to speak.
Yes. That's right. Yeah. Yes, I was thinking the same thing, that in the early parts of relationship, you get to know each other by experiences, doing things, seeing the friends, habits. And when real life is shut down, you don't get to know. And then when it opens up again, you suddenly say, I didn't know. I didn't know he or she did this or went out so much or whatever it is. You couldn't see it. It's a little, it creates a blind spot in effect. Yeah.
I think so. I really think so, because on one hand, you do feel like you really know the person because you're spending so much time together. You're living together, even if you have your own separate places, but you're kind of, you know, living together, so to speak, spending nights together. You're working from home, so you're working together within the home.
Yes.
And I have found, my experience has been that for some of those couples, when exactly what you just said, when the world opened back up and they would go out, they didn't really know the extended family and friends.
Yes.
And they didn't really like sharing their partner with extended family and friends.
Yes, it did. Yes.
Or seeing a different side of their personality when they're around extended family and friends.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that lockdown love is just something, you know, we have to, it sounds, you know, it can sound romantic. It can sound like an adventure.
Yes.
But, you know, especially if we're looking for something long term, we really want to be sure that we are getting to know our partners. And especially if we want to do like a formal wedding, we really want to get to know that person before, you know, we make that sort of commitment to them.
Yeah, I was also thinking that perhaps this pandemic maybe had a similar can parallel something historically, like during wartime. I'm going back, you know, several generations in front of us, that couples quickly paired or got engaged when the war was going on. It almost gave them an external enemy or fear, something fearful that made them cling to one another in the fear. Do you see that too?
Yes, I could definitely see that. When you were talking, before you said fear, I was thinking that exact word.
Yes.
I think the pandemic put us in a place where we really began to examine our lives, and we were seeing people perish from afar and close with family and friends. And so maybe, you know, people that you know, ignited some sort of, I don't want to say desperation, but fear of, well, yeah, if I've never been married or had children, I want to do that now.
Urgency. It makes it urgent.
Exactly. Yeah. Because life is showing me that you know, tomorrow's not promised. And I want to hold on to what I think is love right now and move forward and do those types of things. And we have to be careful with that. There's nothing wrong with an event helping us sort of examine and reevaluate our lives. I certainly did that. But when it comes to wanting and having, maintaining a long-term relationship, we want to make sure that we have the foundation that we need in order for that to happen, and that we're not moving out of fear or desperation, that we're moving out of compatibility and love and want for that relationship.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm on board with you, right on. So I don't know if you caught this or not, but there was a report on the Turbo relationship by eHarmony, and it found that over 36% of people surveyed who were newly living with their partner said that the last 2 months felt like the equivalent of 2 years commitment. What impact does accelerated commitment have on relationship? We might have touched on that a bit already.
Yeah, I think that accelerated commitment, it leaves us vulnerable to missing warning signs and definitely leaving us vulnerable to not truly knowing the other person. Because if we move very fast within a number of months in a relationship, it's like an extended honeymoon period. And so we all know that honeymoon period is when everything is just wonderful. It's like being at Disneyland and everything is cute and wonderful because we haven't been around each other long enough to realize, oh, this is what you look like in the morning, or this is what you smell like in the morning. So we have to just be so careful in doing that. And I think that if couples met and committed to each other during the pandemic, it can definitely feel like it's longer than what it is, because if we're living together partially and, and working from home and it's just us all the time, then we kind of do accelerate certain aspects of the relationship, but not always for the good, as opposed to allowing the relationship to truly develop the way it naturally should. And so two months could feel like 2 years, because you feel like you've known this person forever, but you've kind of known them in this, in this environment. It sort of reminds me of that show Big Brother, where they're stuck in the house together, you know? And so if you're stuck inside because of the pandemic or some other reason, some parts you did accelerate and you do know each other, but other ways you don't. Because one of the things that I caution couples about, I specialize in couples counseling and premarital, especially, is really making sure that you're able to meet the important people in that, in that, in your partner's life. So if there's a best friend, parents, siblings, I do not think that we should marry without meeting those important people in the other person's life and seeing how they interact with those people. What types of relationships do they have with those family members and friends? And if we're in this turbo relationship and we're just sort of in our own little cocoon, we may miss the opportunity to do that. And therefore, we're missing important aspects of that person's personality.
I agree. So, you know, as you're speaking, I'm thinking that there are these accelerated relationships, let's say non-pandemic, people move fast, but then the pandemic just adds another layer of accelerated in these particular conditions. It's, it is, it, you know, it could work, but it is a, it needs caution. I think there needs to be awareness of the couple, of the factors that are influencing it, to maneuver that wisely. And a lot of times thinking, goes out the window when you have these strong feelings, you know, and you don't make the best decisions. So you have personally worked with couples who have turbo bonded with one another. Did you notice anything particular? Did anything surprise you?
I noticed that there was a lot of talk about further accelerating the relationship, meaning we haven't moved in together. We spend most nights together. And now we're considering children and starting that process. But we want to get married, but we haven't even married yet. We haven't met all of the important people in each other's lives. So that's one aspect that I definitely have found. And just not knowing the true basics of information about your significant other. Did you know they won a spelling bee in third grade? You know,
No, that's basic things. It really is important. It might sound silly on the front of it, like who cares about that? It seems of no consequence, but no, that those are precisely the kinds of things that are important in getting to know someone.
And it creates a rocky, it can create a rocky road. And if you haven't met the family members or all of the important family members, then now there's a disconnect with the extended family. And ideally, you know, what Stella was saying, you're not just marrying a person, you're marrying their family. And that's very true. Whether they're present in the physical or just in the spiritual, I think that's true. And if you haven't met them and connected, then it's not as much of a warm and open feeling to become part of that family. Because we don't know each other. We haven't gone to dinner. We haven't been to family reunions. We haven't gone to weddings together. We haven't made memories at all.
As you're speaking, I'm thinking the couple's accelerated. So they're moving ahead at maybe lightning speed, but the family and friends, the new partner is not known. It's like a different rate, a different speed for the friends and family than the couple themselves. Dr. Dixon, what are some general principles or recommendations that you generally have for couples? I heard a few of them mentioned already, knowing the friends and family. And how might these your recommendations change in working with a turbo couple or in a turbo relationship?
So definitely, yes, what I mentioned earlier, meeting and creating relationships with friends and family. I think that's very, very important, because they are going to be a part of your life. and as a couple. And so it's going to feel very odd to be at Sunday dinner with grandma if you've only met grandma once.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think that's important. I think premarital counseling is important and not the 6 hours that people try and promote. I think real, true deal premarital counseling, which is what I feel I offer to my clients. And so it's not just about, oh, you're taking vows and this is important. It's about, do you know how much student loan debt he has or she has? Did you know, this about this person? Did you know that? What are your preferences? What type of relationship or marriage are you building? Who are you going to pattern your relationship or your marriage after? So I like to ask the hard questions. I like to go through the, I'm definitely a systems counselor. And so I like to go through the family history. So that we see what patterns and behaviors are lurking that are going to be prevalent in this relationship one way or the other. And I also love for couples to sit down and complete some type of relationship history of past relationships and why those did or did not work and what mistakes have you learned from that and what is your level of accountability as to why that relationship didn't work. Because it takes two to tangle. Even if one person is a horrible person, it still takes two to tangle. And so we need to know what happened in those past relationships and how much time are you giving yourself in between relationships. Have you really healed? Have you really had a chance to self-assess and say, this is what I brought to the table. And these are the things that I did correct. And these are the things that I did that were probably wrong. And I don't want to bring this on to my next relationship, that old relationship baggage and trauma. So really sitting down and doing that assessment. And of course, if there's children involved, like from a prior relationship, lots of work has to be done with incorporating the children into this relationship, but understanding they may never accept or love your future spouse or significant other. And that's something that you have to learn to deal with, because we can't force our children to love and accept the new spouse because it's not their choice. It's your choice, you know.
Layers of complexity here. It's always amazing how the patterns, unconscious patterns, like show up. They show up
they do
in your romantic relationship patterns, family of origin patterns, and you say, oh my gosh, I had no idea. Great grandma did this or something, and say, there it is again. It's really something how that
it is
appears, and it's more layered than just falling in love. There are all these facets that you're mentioning, the money, the children, the real life things.
The real life things. And I don't think you can get that from 6 hours of premarital counseling. I have couples who've, you know, they came for premarital, but we've been going for a year now, you know? Because there's so many different things that continue to unveil itself, you know, as the relationship continues.
No, I hear you. I'm with you on that. Regarding this topic, the turbo relationship, is there anything you'd like to add that we haven't discussed yet? So far, any other thought on this you'd like to add?
I think that some things that we, you know, have traditionally done need to remain in place, meaning for most people, their significant long-term relationships developed over time. And although we are living in society with this great technology where everything is super fast and everything, we can have everything at the, you know, at our fingertips via our phone or tablets, certain things just, you have to go old school. You have to take time to get to know another person. You have to spend time with them and their friends and family. And you have to treat it like a plant. You have to feed it. You have to water that relationship. And then you usually see a great outcome. I bought two plants. They're on my front porch. And I bought them in June. And if I forget to water those plants, they start to wither and start to die. But as soon as I add some plant food or some water, they perk right back up. And that's what we have to do in our relationships. regardless that we can meet each other through an app online, through a platform, through social media. Those things are great, but the things that are going to make a relationship last is the love and respect and time that we put into the relationship.
Yes.
And that has not changed the beginning of time.
Right. And maybe it's even more important to go slow these days. Maybe it's even more critical to go, because I would say it at the same way you're saying it, that the point is to build trust, and safety are the primary element, and that takes time. You cannot establish trust rapidly.
You cannot.
Mm-mm. It just takes time. So to say, I've known the person for 3 months or something, and I trust him or her explicitly, well, yeah, it hasn't gone around the block enough, around the calendar for real deep trust, because trust is paramount, and that cannot be expedited.
It cannot. And one last little tip is I tell couples, if you have not seen your significant other happy, sad, angry, frustrated, you're not ready.
Yes.
You should have seen all the emotions and all the different facets of their relationship before you totally commit to them for life.
Yes.
And so when we do couples counseling, I like to ask, well, how do you know when he's upset? How do you know when she's upset? Mm-hmm. How do you know when he's happy? Mm-hmm. You know, what do you hear? What do you see? How do you know? And when we're in that honeymoon phase, all we see is happiness and glee. You know, it's like when you're in a long distance relationship and you meet up on the weekend and all we have is a weekend. So it's full of fun and passion because we're just here to have fun. Mm-hmm. But what is that person like when they wake up late for work and now they're 20 minutes behind and have to go sit in traffic? What are they like when they come home from work after they've been in traffic and had a hard day? Do they express that? How do they communicate? How do they express that to you? How do you pick up on those emotions? And I see couples who they have no clue because they haven't been together long enough to see the different emotions.
And there's a tendency to sweep it under the rug, smooth it over, quick, sorry, without really dealing with it, just to avoid the confrontation or the conflict, which is tied to intimacy, you know, so there's effort to just, what did they say? Suck it up. I'm just going to suck it up. Just not sweep it under the rug. I have a question on my intake form. It says, when you're engaged in conflict with your partner, how do you resolve it? What are your methods for resolution? They say, we don't. We don't resolve it. So that's a common response is, well, we don't.
That's funny. Yeah, I've seen that response. Or they'll say, well, we don't really have conflict. And I go,
that's a red flag.
And I say, well, you're not ready to get married if you don't have conflict.
Yeah, it's tied. It's directly tied to intimacy.
It is, because in order to be able to have conflict and disagreement and argument, you have to love and trust, I think. And when you don't love and trust, you avoid those things because you're so fearful and insecure that you think that this is going to ruin the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so what I tell my couples is that if you're in relationship with someone and you never argue, it's because you're not showing your true self. Mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't argue, like, you know, beat down, drag out fights every day. Yeah. But you can't be in a relationship and never have a disagreement. Even friendships, you're going to have disagreements.
Definitely. It's baked into relationship, right?
It is.
It's just part of it. Caught this study, I think it was by Dr. Gottman, but don't quote me on this, that said that there's no direct correlation between marital conflict and marital satisfaction. He reported that couples that do battle, you know, they're bickering, can report that they're quite happy in their connection.
Yeah, because, and I could believe that in the sense that you're secure and that you trust. And I'm big on attachment. So if you're insecurely attached, you don't want to battle. You don't want to use your voice because you're so afraid that anything is going to damage the relationship. But if you've been together long enough, you know that that's not true.
Exactly. I say to my couples, you want to make it safe enough to have a fight.
Yes.
Emotionally safe enough to fight. Mm-hmm. So it's strong enough. Dr. Dixon, this was a very informative and very helpful. How can you tell our listeners today about your services and how they can get in touch with you and where they can find you on the internet?
Yes, ma'am. So I do have a website. I am on social media.
Okay.
If you Google my name, M-A-Y-I, Dixon, mm-hmm. D-I-X-O-N, sometimes that's the quickest and easiest way to get to me because my web address is kind of long.
Yeah.
Yes, everything on me pops up. Anything I publish, any, you know, podcasts, vlogs, all of that will pop up if you Google my name. I am, you know, in Georgia, and so I service clients in the state of Georgia. Since the pandemic, I have gone 100% virtual, so all of my counseling sessions are virtual, and that's been working out very well. I work specifically with couples, and when I work with individuals, it's individuals who are trying to improve their relationships, meaning maybe they're not in a relationship, but they're trying to figure out some of their stuff to, you know, so that they can get ready, sort of primed to be in a good relationship. And I do a lot of premarital work with couples. I do not accept insurance. So all of my couples are self-pay. And yeah, I love it. It just sort of turned into all couples. And I absolutely love it. And it's a challenge. And I adore working with couples because I just feel like if we have better couples, then we'll have better families, better children, better society as a whole.
it's the smallest building block of society.
Yes, ma'am.
It needs to be nurtured. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Completely. And as you mentioned before, I do have a podcast on Anchor called the Premarital Bliss Podcast, and it's all about relationships. And I'll be starting that back up very soon. But there's several episodes that's already recorded. Just, you know, like most people in a pandemic, I took a hiatus from some things because the pandemic has affected me.
Of course.
And so, you know, a decrease in some areas of work definitely took place. But I'm at the point where I'm ready to revamp that again. I love to talk. I love to talk about couples. And, you know.
we have that in common. You're speaking my language.
Yes. And so, so like I said, the best way is to Google my first and last name, Maya Dixon, M-A-Y-I-D-I-X-O-N, and all of my information will come up. And I look forward to hearing from people out there in the virtual land. And this has been great. This has been great.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for your generosity with your time, providing listeners with such helpful guidance. So listeners are encouraged to subscribe to the Premarital Bliss podcast and Google Dr. Dixon and follow her on social media. So thank you again. And thank you for listeners for joining us. Well, that concludes our podcast for today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.